God himself, the
Lamb. Let's begin by reading from Genesis 23, verses 19 and 20. Genesis 23, 19 and 20. Last two verses of the chapter. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the sons of Heth as property for a burial place. After the incident at Mount Moriah, when Abraham took Isaac up to offer him as a burnt offering before the Lord and at the command of God, Abraham renamed that mount, "The Lord Will Provide," because it was there where God provided a substitute, the ram caught in the thicket, to take the place of his son who was destined to die. Now this prompted a second appearance from the angel of the Lord, and we're going to study that and one of the sad moments in the Abrahamic narrative, the death of his wife Sarah, as we consider the end of Genesis 22 and Genesis 23 in today's lesson.
God will provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Behold the Lamb, God himself the Lamb.
The angel of the Lord stayed Abraham's hand as the knife came down to sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. God said, "Now I know that you believe in me because you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me." The angel of the Lord comes again after that encounter and the offering of the ram to reestablish, reinvigorate, reemphasize the glorious covenant between that great patriarch and the Lord God Almighty. Let's read now from Genesis 22, verses 15 through 19. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. The original declaration of the covenantal promise, as stated in Genesis 12 and verse 3, says, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God slightly modifies the wording of that original promise in Genesis 22:18 when he says, "In your seed," notice the difference, "in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." The expression "in your seed" appropriately reflects the preservation of Isaac, the offspring of promise, writes K.A. Matthews in the New American Commentary. Now, after this reinstatement of the covenant, or renewal of the covenant, the final five verses of Genesis 22 really seem kind of out of place. They record there information about some of Abraham's relatives. After returning to Beersheba with his son and servants, Abraham learns some news about his family who dwelt up in that northern region of Syria. Abraham's brother, whose name Nahor, was blessed with a great increase to his family, including his oldest sons, who were named Huz and Buz. Now, there's no biblical significance to these boys other than the fact that their names are hilarious, so I have to make sure that I mention them. I've always vowed that if I ever owned a pair of dogs, I would call them Huz and Buz because those are outstanding names. In addition to Huz and Buz, other family members are mentioned. One of Nahor's sons is named Bethuel. And Bethuel had a daughter named Rebekah. And she's the reason that Moses includes this familial information at this point in the narrative. What we're going to see now in Genesis 23 is that the next major event in the Abrahamic storyline is the death of Sarah. And Sarah's death will prompt Abraham to commit his last act as the family patriarch before his own death, and that is to find a wife for his son Isaac. That's going to be Genesis 24 and our next lesson. So this family tree information is included as a backdrop to what Abraham will do in chapter 24 when he goes to find a bride for his son from among their distant relatives. But for now, we're going to focus on the death of Abraham's wife Sarah as recorded in Genesis 23. Let's just read the first two verses to get us started. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. So Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, it's kind of surprising when you read a lot of modern scholarship about Sarah, how critical Bible commentators are of her. But I think Dr. Warren Wiersbe has a fair and scriptural assessment of Sarah. Quote, "Sarah had been a good wife to Abraham and a good mother to Isaac. Yes, she had her faults, as we all do, but God called her a princess and listed her with the heroes and heroines of faith, Hebrews 11:11. The Apostle Peter named her as a good example for Christian wives to follow, and Paul used her to illustrate the grace of God in the life of the believer, Galatians 4:21 through 31. Whatever can be deduced about Sarah from the account of the book of Genesis, one truth is abundantly clear. Abraham loved her. And his actions in this chapter prove that to be the case. Genesis 23 is primarily recording a lengthy negotiation. Abraham approached a group of people called the Sons of Heth to purchase a burial plot for his departed wife. Now, it's said that the Sons of Heth were Hittites, and this is kind of confusing because at least three and possibly four different groups of ancient people wore the label Hittite, according to the New American Commentary. When Abraham arrived to these Hittites, the Sons of Heth, he gave them all due courtesy, and they acknowledged him as a mighty prince among us, verse 6. Abraham desired to purchase a cave, which was called the Cave of Machpelah. Now, to the Western ear, it kind of sounds as if Ephron, who's the owner of the cave and the land that adjoined the cave, was at first just trying to give the property to Abraham as a gift. But such language was common in Near Eastern negotiation, and Ephron likely always intended to get as much money for the land out of Abraham as possible. Everybody knew how wealthy Abraham was. So Ephron finally names his price. He says, "This will set you back 400 shekels of silver," according to verse 15. James Smith says that real estate contracts recovered from Mesopotamia indicate that this was an exorbitant price. Ephron probably anticipated that Abraham would counteroffer and engage in a negotiation process, but instead, the grieving husband weighed out the silver for Ephron, which he had named in the hearing of the Sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, currency of the merchants, verse 16. And so now we conclude our Bible reading with verses 17 through 20, the end of the chapter. So the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees that were in the field, which were within all the surrounding borders, were deeded to Abraham as a possession in the presence of the Sons of Heth, before all who went in at the gate of the city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, that is Hebron, land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that is in it were deeded to Abraham by the Sons of Heth as property for a burial place. James Smith writes this, "In the cave of the field of Machpelah near Mamre, Abraham buried Sarah. Though he had spent much of his life outside the promised land, he was finally able to bury his wife in Canaan. This the text twice emphasizes, verse 2 and verse 19. Even in his hour of grief, however, his faith was being tested. 60 years earlier, he had received the promise that the land of Canaan would be his. Yet he did not own a plot of ground suitable to bury a loved one. Abraham was forced to purchase from a pagan land that in reality already belonged to him. The writer of the book of Hebrews reflects on the plight of Abraham and his great faith in spite of what he had to deal with throughout his life, saying, "By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. Years after this event, Abraham will also be buried alongside his wife. Isaac and his future wife, Rebekah, will join them, as well as Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and his wife, Leah. The family tomb of Abraham would forever be honored and cherished by the Israelite people. In fact, Dr. Nahum Sarna writes this about the site. Quote, "After the Western Wall in Jerusalem, the Cave of Machpelah has remained throughout history the most sacred monument of the Jewish people. It is traditionally identified with the site the Arabs call Haran el-Khalil, the sacred precinct of the Friend of God in present-day Hebron. The magnificent surrounding wall of hewn stones goes back at least to the time of Herod." And whether or not we actually know the location of Abraham's tomb is not really the point. What is the point is that one day, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their wives Sarah, Rebekah, and Leah will burst forth from their burial place in the resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's a great preacher among us who doesn't refer to graves just as burial places, but as resurrection sites. A day when all the saints will burst forth from the grave to be gathered with the Lord is surely coming. And Abraham and Sarah will one day come up together, rejoined, and ascending together to be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus said it this way in Matthew 8 and verse 11, "I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven."
Although Abraham could not understand how God in His great love could ask him for the only son he had, yet when it seemed to him all hope was dim, his faith this promise saying, "God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Behold the Lamb, God himself the Lamb." Then the promise rang unto Bethlehem as God reached down to man and gave to us the only Son he had. Then when his time had come with with his precious blood, he sealed redemption's plan, and God provides himself a lamb. God will provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Behold the